thank you. We're joined, as usual, by Rhode Island Public Radio political analyst Scott McKay. Hello, Scott.
Good morning, Rhode Island.
And University of Rhode Island political science professor Maureen Moakley. Good morning, Maureen.
Good morning, everyone.
We're pleased to welcome back as our guest State Representative Daniel Riley, a Portsmouth Republican. Thank you for joining us, Rep.
Good morning, and thanks for having me again.
Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton were the big winners during Super Tuesday voting this week. It might be too little, too late, but the Republican establishment is ramping up its attacks on Trump. So I have two questions, and let's start here with Representative Riley, who's a Marco Rubio supporter. Is Trump going to be the Republican presidential nominee? And if so, how does he stack up against Hillary Clinton?
I personally don't think he's going to be the nominee, and I'll explain my rationale for that. He cannot get a majority of the delegates in any state he's competed in thus far. In the first closed primary that he faced in Oklahoma, he significantly underwhelmed his expectations. Ted Cruz came in first, and Donald Trump was in a close second with Marco Rubio. And I think what that shows is when only Republicans are voting, they have different expectations, they have different results than when a broad universe of Democrats, independents, or Republicans are voting. Obviously, the winner-take-all states coming up on March 15th are going to prove a lot. But going forward, if all three candidates remain in the race, you're very easily going to see a scenario where Donald Trump cannot get 1,237 delegates. And if that's the case, it's going to be a brokered convention. No candidate at this point has any incentive to get out so long as they can continue getting. They can continue being 20 points behind Donald Trump as long as they're getting what they are getting. He will not be the nominee.
Let's bring Maureen in here. What do you think of Representative Riley's theory? Is Trump going to come out on top?
I completely agree. I mean, that's a scenario that I would argue for. They're not going to get out. It will be hard to get over 50% of the delegates. We probably will have a brokered convention. The interesting thing about that is you may see someone come in. You don't necessarily have to run in primaries to get votes. So after the first ballot, you could see Paul Ryan. You could see Mitt Romney. There's a lot of possibilities. From a political science point of view, it's a dream. But I do agree. I think that's the likely scenario.
Scott, are you going to march in the same choir with our two distinguished panelists here?
No, I think there's a lot of wishful thinking on the part of Representative Riley. I mean, the fact is Trump has won every big primary to date. No one else has come close to him. Rubio really hasn't nicked him. What Trump probably could do is make a deal, maybe even with Kasich. I mean, there's a deal to be made if you're Donald Trump and you have 40% of the delegates walking into a Republican convention. If that's the case, then he's probably going to win. The other danger, and this could be the worst, is what happens to these anti-establishment people that Trump has brought into the party. They are going to be ripped if it looks like some backroom deal denies him the nomination. And I don't know what happened to those people. Do they stay home in November? Well, Does he run a crazy third-party thing? I don't know.
Let's talk about that. There is a rift in the National Republican Party over Trump. On Thursday, we saw Mitt Romney lace into Trump. Representative Riley, you're holding out hope that Rubio or someone else will be the nominee. But if Donald Trump is the Republican nominee, will you as a Republican support him?
I can't see how I'd support him. I really can't. I don't know who I would vote for, to be honest with you. I don't see how I can support him. Donald Trump seems to just start with some rambling stream of consciousness, and that becomes a Donald Trump speech. And he is on every side of every issue. So how could I vote for someone who may or may not share my beliefs on anything? I think more importantly, isn't consistent on anything. I think he'd be an erratic president. I wouldn't trust him. And I get the sense from a lot of Republicans they share those thoughts. I think a fair number of Republicans support him. I think a fair number of independents support him. I think a fair number of Democrats support him. I don't know how that would affect our performance in the general, but I don't think that it would be a situation where you have this broad swath of the Republican electorate sitting home, because I don't think his support comes from a broad swath of the Republican electorate.
Scott, what kind of long-time fallout would you expect from the Republican Party if this split persists between more conservative and moderate elements?
You know, obviously it's a problem with the Republicans, but I'm not a doom and gloom person. The last time this really happened was 1964, and if you look at Barry Goldwater now, he wasn't as out there as Trump. I mean, the most divisive thing he said was things like extremism, a defense of liberty is no vice. But he got clocked in the national election against Lyndon Johnson that year. But you know what? It didn't mean the demise of the Republican Party. 4 years later, here comes Richard Nixon along with his comeback, and he gets elected president after the Democrats splintered and had that horrible convention in Chicago where people were rioting in the streets. So I think this could just be a short-term element. I don't believe with a lot of the pundits nationally who say, well, this means the Republicans are going the way of the Whigs. I wouldn't really say that yet.
Maury, what do you say on the impact on the Republican Party long-term?
I agree with Scott. I'm agreeing with everyone today.
Oh, my God.
The fact is that the system is stacked for two parties. The worst-case scenario is there'll be a low turnout and the Republicans will lose this presidential election.
Remember, lose the Senate, probably.
They may lose the Senate. They control the House. So
yes,
the demise of the Republican Party is way overstated. There's a way of coming back, as you point out. So as I say, the worst case scenario will be low turnout, a dismal performance, and it'll start all over again.
Well, let's bring the issue back to Rhode Island politics. Republicans like Representative Riley and his peers in the General Assembly remain very critical of the truck toll law signed into law last month by Governor Raimondo. They hope to make this an election issue in fall legislative races. To play a little bit of devil's advocate, Representative Riley, we know these toll gantries aren't going to go up for more than a year. Everyday Rhode Islanders are not going to be directly hit by the tolls. So how can this really be an effective election issue this year?
Well, I think Rhode Islanders in general are turned off by the whole process by which the toll bill became law. 13 days from when the new proposal came out to when it was voted out in the House and presented to the governor. I think the way, you know, you saw how Patricia Morgan, Representative Morgan, was treated in the Finance Committee, no matter what you think of her, her beliefs on this issue, I've heard from many constituents that were turned off by the whole process. I think that sours them on tolls initially. As you said, we're far away from the tolls being the gantries constructed, us seeing projects, but that goes both ways. We're also not going to see the results of these projects. So quickly. And so my friends on the Democratic side, or at least those who supported the proposal, would say that constituents are going to see the fruits of this labor and everything's going to be different and better and everything's fixed. That's just not going to happen very quickly. DOT can't get these projects done. So I think what you are going to see is while everything's going on behind the scenes, you're going to see a legal battle that's going to keep tolls out in the news in a negative light. And you're going to see people continue to be turned off by the process, by how things are done on Smith Hill.
Maureen, are we going to see tolls as an effective issue for Republicans this year in Rhode Island?
I think not. I think you might pick up a couple of seats, but I don't see it as being a major issue. We talk about the inefficiency of the system. So now we're talking about the fact that we passed a bill in a timely way, and I'm not sure that's going to work against you. So I do think, I wish you well, but I'm sorry, I'm not sure there's enough there to really energize the Republicans. Indeed, the activity is coming from the progressives.
Last word to Scott.
Yeah, one of the problems here is all the Republicans last year voted unanimously for the state budget, so now they're groping for an issue and they have these tolls. The problem is if you don't drive an 18-wheeler, you're probably not going to have any problem anyway. So I don't think, except around the margins and maybe on your side of the bay, the East Bay, Representative Raleigh, there may be some pushback. Otherwise, I don't see this as a statewide deal breaker.
We're out of time, so we have to leave it there. Thanks for joining us on Political Roundtable. Scott.
Great to be here.
Maureen.
Thank you.
And State Representative Daniel Riley, Republican of Portsmouth.
Thanks as always for having me.
We're funded by you, our listeners, and by the Robertson Foundation, continuing the commitment of its founder, Stephen Hamblett, to honest government in Rhode Island through in-depth political coverage. And if you enjoy the conversation, follow our On Politics blog at ripr.org.
Major funding for Political Roundtable is provided by the Rhode Island Foundation, using philanthropy to move Rhode Island forward. Details at rhodeislandfoundation.org.